said it? Martha. It's not true. It's not true. Jesus did not say it, but the Word of God says it is truth that who said it? Martha said it. You get that? Very few people understand that. Understand, it is not Jesus' statement that had he been there, Lazarus would not have what? Because Jesus has been many places, and people have what? Died. You see why you better rightly divide the word there? Who said it? Martha. It's just like Job. Remember, Job said, the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath what? Who said it? Did God say it? Oh, God wouldn't be that big a liar. Job was. Job was, because the book of Job says it was the devil who took it away, right? Satan did. Therefore, our God did not do that. But Job says, the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath what? And the God says, he backs it up in his word and guarantees it that it's true that it was Job who said it. Understand? People, you've got to rightly read the word. It was Martha who said, if Jesus had been here, my brother would not have what? Jesus never said it, but the word of God backs it up. It was Martha who said it. And it is true that she said it. But Jesus, the answer he gave was that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God would what? Give it thee. This is the one of the whatsoever promises, provided it fits within the revelation. Understand? The framework of the Word of God. And then Jesus gives her that tremendous answer in verse 23. He saith unto her, thy brother shall what? Rise again. And Martha's theology was real good at this point. She said, no, he doesn't have to rise again because he's already gone to heaven. His thoughts have preceded him to heaven. Any of you ever heard that? His ideas have gone to heaven. His mind has gone to heaven. His passions, his joys are all up there. Martha's theology was a little more active. Martha says, I know what? He shall rise again in the resurrection at the what? Last day. You see the context with which this whatsoever and whosoever is placed. Tremendous, isn't it? Sure, like the whole Word of God. Blank check number 3 in Matthew chapter 18. Keep your finger in John because we'll be back. Matthew chapter 18. Now, people, these are here written in the Gospels, and the Gospels are written to us. Nope, they're written for our what? But in as far as they are applicable to the framework of that which is addressed to us, we use them as illustration for our learning to help us to walk with an effervescence and a glow and with the power of God in our lives. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done by them of my Father, which is in heaven. If two of you shall agree on earth, two agree on earth. You know what that word agree is? Real interesting word. It's the word from which we get the English word symphony. Can you imagine a symphony where everybody's playing a different note? No, it just wouldn't quite sound so good. Beethoven might not like it, or Bach, or Chopin, or any of the rest of them. If two of you agree on earth, the word agree is symphonize. Symphonize. If two of you just are in perfect alignment and harmony, perfect... I don't know any better way to say it. If I knew a better way than the word... symphonize, I don't know if that's a word or not, but sounds good to me. If it's a symphony, and if you two are right on the same wavelength, same heartbeat spiritually, that's what he's talking about. as touching anything they shall ask.
And
you know what the word ask is? It's the word that is translated demand in our English language. When a man walks up to the cashier's window with a $100 check from his employer, you go to the window and you demand payment of that check. That's this word, ask. Isn't that wonderful? You know why you can walk up to that window and demand payment? It's a good banking term, demand payment of the check, because there is a sufficient amount in the bank to cover that check. That's why you can demand it. To demand payment of a check doesn't mean you walk into the banking facilities or the banking place with a ball bat in your hand and say, look, give me my money or else. No. You walk in, you've got your check signed, right? You hand it to the cashier at the window and you say, would you please cash this check for me? Now you're demanding payment. That's why that word ask is remarkable in this scripture. It's the word demand. Taking your check in and laying it at God's window and saying, Lord, I thank you for the deposit you made for me in Christ Jesus. I'm here to cash it in. And I thank you. I thank you for giving it to me now. And you shall absolutely what? Act like you've got it now and you shall. That's this tremendous scripture. Isn't that wonderful? Again, it's countersigned by Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John, the 14th chapter, is the fourth blank check. The 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And in the 13th verse, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I what? Do, that the Father might be may be glorified in his what? Son. Whatsoever you ask. The word ask again is that word demand. In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son and Jesus Christ never gave us an answer to prayer, how could God be glorified in his Son? Then his Son would not have been any better than I am or you are. But his Son is better. And he is able to hear and to answer our prayer. And he is the intercessor. He is the intermediator. He is the one who stands between us and God as the one who reconciled us and redeemed us. Therefore, whatsoever you shall demand in his name, that will I want. And the fifth blank check is right in the next verse. Wonderful, I put both of them together, isn't it? If ye shall demand, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will what? Do it. And it's a tremendous thing because in the context you will note that Jesus here is talking about a time again, as he has a number of places, where he's talking about something not only in the present but in the future. And here in verse 12, he is telling them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, everyone is conditioned on believing, the works that I do shall he what? Do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my what? Therefore, in context, the greatness of these scriptures become a reality after the day of what? That's right. That's wonderful. That's why the greater works always came to pass after the day of Pentecost than what he was able to do. Certainly our greater works would never be in healing the sick and all the rest of it, Jesus. We couldn't beat that. But it has to be in something that he was not able to do. And the thing he was not able to do was to give anybody the new birth. He came to make it available. It was not available till the day of what? Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost they were born again for the first time, and when they were born again they were filled with what? the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation was in Acts 2. And don't forget, we're having a great Pentecost rally that weekend of Decoration Day, is it? Boy, all afternoon, 29th of May, all afternoon, great Pentecost rally here. The youth, all the young people, will be meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There'll be a fellowship supper at 4:30. There'll be a hillside sing on the hillside with Dorothy Owens leading the singing at 6:30. And a wonderful Pentecost rally service here at 7 o'clock at night. Because that's the birthday of the church. That is the greatest day in the church here. It isn't Christmas. It isn't Easter. But it is what He did for us on the day of Pentecost when the church was started, when men and women were born again for the first time and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they manifested forth this power in their daily lives. Right? The sixth blank check is in John 15. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask, demand of the Father in my name, that he may what? Give it unto you." Isn't that wonderful? The seventh blank check is in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, and in the 23rd verse. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will what? Give it." Verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive." And the word "receive" here is lambano, manifest force. "That your joy may be what?